Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We usually think of this scenario, it's just kind of a basic understanding of what it means to be God and to be a creature, that God doesn't need our permission to do anything. God even says these things in Scripture. He says, I don't ask your advice. I don't seek your counsel. If I need something, I don't ask you. If I were hungry, I wouldn't come to you. I am God. Now, that has been stood on its head in some very popular teaching in American evangelicalism. There are many Christians out there who believe that God does need to seek our permission to do what God does. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we're going to talk about the New Apostolic Reformation and answer that question, does God need your permission to act on earth? Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We're going to be talking about the New Apostolic Reformation, which we've discussed many times, but there's a feature of it that I don't think we have discussed in any detail, and that is dominion theology. What is it and how is it relevant and how is it taught in the NAR?
Dominion theology begins with the concept that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, that they gave dominion of the earth to the devil. And that what ended up happening on the cross is that Christ was able to regain dominion in part back to those who are believers in him. Those who believe in Christ, they have now regained dominion. And the job of the church is to take total dominion over the earth. There's an eschatological piece to all of this, but we're the ones in charge down here. And then in order for Christ to return, we've got to take complete dominion, and the strategy for achieving complete dominion on the earth then is through what's called the Seven Mountains Mandate. But we're not going to be talking about that aspect of it today. We're going to be talking about how then is God able to interface and accomplish things on earth when there's kind of a split dominion between now Christian believers and the devil. That's how dominion is playing out in what we're going to be listening to.
Who are we going to be hearing and what are we going to hear?
We're going to be listening to Brad Carignan, and he's one of the vision casting leaders at New Life Family Church in Euless, Texas. And the name of the sermon is Portal Prayers. I'm not making that up. That is actually the name of the sermon. But we're going to be listening as Brad is going to be explaining to us that God is really not capable of doing anything on planet Earth unless we give him permission, and we do that through our prayers.
Why we need to pray. And it's very simple. It's a very difficult question, but I have a very simple answer. We pray because God cannot move on the earth unless we pray. When we pray, it is the legal means by which God is allowed to work on the earth. When we pray, we are giving God a work permit to come from heaven to earth to work on our Easter service, to work on the hearts of the people that'll be here in our services. Last week, we talked about the fact that God is a God of justice, and the Lord established laws, and the Lord established his kingdom, and he abides by that. He only works within the laws in the kingdom that he established. So God created heaven and earth, and he gave dominion over the earth to Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, let's make human beings in our image so that they will be like us. They will reign, they will have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the livestock, all the wild animals of the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings. He created Adam and Eve in his own image. In the image of God, he created them both male and female. And then God blessed them. He said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Have dominion over the earth. God gave authority to the earth to Adam and Eve. But then we know in Genesis chapter 3, Eve was deceived by the devil. So the baton was passed to Adam. Adam willfully disobeyed God, and he gave the authority over the earth to the devil. And I think most Christians don't understand the laws and the rules that this earth is governed by. They don't realize that the earth belongs to the devil because of Genesis chapter 3. So God does not have permission to work here on earth unless somebody gives him permission.
I don't think I've dealt with this doctrine for years now in conversations about what we used to call the word faith movement, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never heard someone say it so blatantly as Brad did there.
I will admit that the Word of Faith teachers in the past have been a little less forthright in their teaching, at least laying it out so clearly as Brad has here. But that's the basic idea behind the Word of Faith, is that we have authority, we have dominion, we must speak, then God can act. But to have him lay it out this clearly is actually quite helpful. Because now you can see the full, you know, the full form of this particular doctrine. And at the end of the day, it really sounds like we are the gods of earth, and that not even the God who created us has any kind of authority to do anything unless we grant it. So in that scenario, we turn out to be gods, little deities. It's funny how you can see it now when it's laid out this way.
This kind of has such pervasive but unintended consequences. All Christians, with the exception of people who believe this, apparently, hold to a view that God is free to act. However, God, he does operate within his character. He does not do evil or tempt to evil, so he can't do anything we could imagine him doing. But he does what are things that are in accord with his own character. But he is free to act. And does constantly without our knowledge, or as Luther says, even without our prayer.
Exactly. So you'll note then that over and again, God is the instigator of things, if you would. He's the source of action in the universe. He spoke the universe into existence without our permission. And throughout Scripture, you see time after time after time where God initiates something all on his own and accomplishes it. He sends his word out to accomplish things, and it doesn't return to him void. You know, and he's the one who feeds the fish and the birds of the air and the cattle on a thousand hills. And there's so much that God is up to and doing. We aren't even aware of even, you know, like the first half of a micron of a 10% of a of 1% knowing what God is up to and doing. And if God were to remove his hand, and this is, it's important that we recognize that God is not only the creator, but he's also the sustainer of the universe. And if God were to remove his hand from us, you know, things would go topsy-turvy so quickly that the universe itself would probably cease to exist. And so the idea here is that we have an ongoing need for God, and he knows the things we need even before we ask. And so this doctrine that he's giving, it just, I'll be blunt, it sounds like mythology that turns us into little deities.
Is this why you will hear other more bold word faith teachers, usually those old school guys, talk about we being not, we're not just the image of God in the sense that Scripture teaches, that is fear, love, and trust in God, but an image of God in that we are kind of divine ourselves? It's about a minute.
Right. Right, yeah, exactly. You think of Ken Copeland and you think of Joyce Meyer, you know, back in the day. They were very proud to say that I am a little God. I am a God. and that my words have power, and that that when I speak, I have legal authority to take dominion over things with my words the way God did. And so they had gotten pummeled for teaching that so overtly, but that's a part of this doctrine that kind of lurks behind the scenes. People don't want to talk that way, at least as clearly nowadays, because it's easy to shoot them down. But that's kind of the unspoken part of this whole doctrine.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity Today, the New Apostolic Reformation. And does God need permission from us to act on the earth? Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kunstfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Not only puts us in the driver's seat, it makes us responsible for everything. We'll hear more from Brad Carignan right after the break and get Chris's response.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you had the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking with Pastor Chris Roseborough, our feature this week in Pop Christianity, answering the question, does God need our permission to act on the earth? Expert guests, expansive topics, and extolling Christ, that's what you'll find at the one and only 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th. Making the Case begins with a live broadcast of Issues, Etc., and then ends with the Divine Service. In between, you'll hear from some great teachings by LCMS President Matt Harrison, Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire, Ross Douthat of the New York Times, Wesley Smith of National Review, LCMS Worship Director Will Whedon, and Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine. Register at our website, issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 618-223-8385. It's the Making the Case Conference in Chicago, June 7th and 8th. Chris, what's next from Brad Carignan?
All right. We are going to be listening more as he's going to explain how Jesus has regained authority, but has given it to man. And this is really convoluted. Pay close attention to what he does with Matthew 28 at the end of this bite.
Jesus came and he did not take back. But what he did was he took authority. So he has authority on the earth. And we're going to go over it in a minute. Legal dominion came from God to Adam and Eve. They gave it to the devil. Jesus came in a human form like Adam and Eve, died on the cross, defeated the devil, and now has authority over the earth if man would give it to him. So the art for this morning's message is this space idea that when we pray, we open up a portal. We open up like a wormhole, like an elevator from heaven to earth. And it comes through Jesus, but the authority has been given back to man. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 2. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Wait a second. If God's all sovereign and God's all powerful, what does it matter if we actually pray? I'm telling you, God is waiting on you to pray to open up a portal so that he can move in your life. He can move in your heart, in your health, in your mind, in your marriage, in your finance, in your kids, in our city, and in our Easter services. We have not because we ask not. So I'm imploring you to please say please and ask God to come establish his kingdom in your heart, in your family, and in our church. And in our city, I'm asking you to pray to open up a portal to give God legal access to the mid-cities 2 weeks from now. Let me continue to break it down this way. Dominion over the earth now is in two places. It's in the demonic and it's over the hearts of believers in Jesus. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. This is after the cross, Jesus's final instructions before going back to heaven. He said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on the earth. Therefore, I'm going to give it to you. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's certain laws that govern the kingdom. And God is a God of justice. And he will always work within the laws that he set up. So he's waiting for us to give him legal access to our city.
All right. You're going to have to walk me back through that one more time, Chris, because I always thought when Jesus says all authority has been given to me, he's speaking of the Father, that the authority that the Father had has given to him from all eternity as the eternal Son. I didn't hear anything in those words from Matthew 28 about this big old transaction that took place behind the scenes.
Right. So this is going to fall into an interesting category as far as how Bible twisting is taking place. What he's doing is giving us an alternative narrative. You think of it this way. The Nicene Creed gives us a narrative for understanding, you know, how Scripture works. And everything is interpreted then in that narrative, the narrative of creation, of fall, of redemption, of sanctification, and eventually for restoration in the return of Christ. Those are your kind of big pieces, and Scripture is rightly understood within the framework of that narrative. He's given us a different narrative, and the narrative he's giving us actually falls into the category of mythology. And in order for something to be a biblical doctrine, it must be clearly taught in Scripture. However, there are no texts that talk about how when we pray, portals are opened and that we give God legal authority to do things on the earth. In fact, I would throw a biblical text into the mix here. Psalm 135, verse 6 says this, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps. So Psalm 135, verse 6, what it does is clearly contradicts this narrative of dominion that Brad has given us. He's given us this narrative of, you know, that we had dominion, we gave up dominion, Jesus restored dominion but gave it back to us, and he has authority to do things if we give it to him. And he quoted James 4:2 out of context. You know, you have not because you ask not. And the way he quoted it in light of this false dominion narrative that he's given. And so you'll note this, the dominion narrative is the issue. It's a competing narrative to the actual narrative of Scripture, again, of creation, fall, redemption, sanctification, and ultimately restoration, you know, in a new heaven and a new earth. Totally different narrative. And so this dominion narrative doesn't exist anywhere.
That Matthew 28 passage is significant because Jesus doesn't just mention his authority by way of just kind of, oh, by the way, guys. He gives that, he says, this is my authority, now go. And he empowers and authorizes his disciples and therefore his church to act, I'm going to say on his behalf, but I'll say in his stead through baptism and the teaching and preaching of God's word to make disciples. It is still Christ making the disciples in and through his church, but the direction of the authority is the opposite of what Brad says it is.
Exactly. That's precisely true. In fact, I would kind of throw into the mix here is that when we talk about important events in Scripture, we oftentimes overlook Ascension Day. Ascension Day is such a critical piece of understanding the authority of Christ, because there the ascended Christ, you know, now, you know, he sits at the right hand of the Father. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to him. From there, now he is ruling both the right and the left hand kingdoms presently. And so, but what happens in this weird dominion narrative is that Jesus regains the authority. And you'll note that if you were to go back and re-listen to the soundbite, he says that all authority has been given to Jesus, but he says, I'm giving it to you. But that's nowhere in the text. And so he in order to make sense of Matthew 28, he interprets it through his dominion narrative and basically says, well, Jesus got the authority, but he had to give it to the disciples because now we have authority. And it's everything's internally consistent with the logic of the dominion narrative. The problem is the dominion narrative is not a biblical narrative at all. It's not even a biblical teaching.
Just pause here for a moment, because we have more to hear from Carignan. But where does this, he's talking about things like our Easter service is coming up and our city and all these places. Where does this put those who are listening to his message, if they believe it, where does it leave them?
Well, then it's up to them. I mean, so this is the sermon you kind of keyed in on this is given as an admonition that they need to be praying for their coming Easter services, and that by their praying, they're going to be opening up portals and giving God legal authority to save people on Easter Sunday and transform their lives and things like that. And so this is at the end of this, he's really pushing hard here for them to be praying so that God, whose hands are totally tied apparently, that they would then release God's hand so that he's now legally has the work permit necessary to get things done on the earth and in their city.
What's next?
All right, this is a fun one, because he's going to take the biblical texts regarding the office of the keys, which is about the binding and loosing of sins, and he's going to weave it into his dominion narrative.
The devil was referred to as the prince of the air. So the devil is the prince of all the air that surrounds the earth, and he is at work keeping the course of this world flowing away from God. But Matthew 16:19, I will give you at New Life Family Church the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on the earth will then be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on the earth will then be permitted in heaven. God has given us the keys, the power, the authority to redirect the flow of this world and point things back to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You have amazing power and authority living on the inside of you. Jesus has given you the authority to pray on earth and that things would be released in the heavens. You have the power to redirect the work, the natural course, the natural flow of this earth. You affect how heaven will intervene. Notice that Jesus did not say, whatever is prayed in heaven will be released on the earth. Jesus said, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. It starts with what happens here on the earth, with people that have legal authority to do so. Without your prayers, certain things cannot be done.
Okay, Chris, kind of more of the same from him, but if you would diagnose how he twisted what is intended to be words of great comfort,
right,
to his disciples and to us and to the church, into something that robs us of all comfort.
Right. Well, you'll note with the dominion mandate that this, what is gospel, turns into law. And this is where we must recognize that the text that he was referring to, where he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, is it is clearly defined then in the Gospel of John chapter 20, verse 23, where Jesus says that whosoever sins you forgive, they are already forgiven, and whose sins you retain, they are retained. This is referring to the office of the keys and the binding and loosing of sins, which then in its application publicly, pastors then when, you know, at the beginning of the divine service, we come and we confess our sins, that we are by nature sinful and unclean, sinned against God in thought, word, deed, by the things we've done and not done, and we confess that we've sinned, and the pastor says, I, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the authority given by Christ to the church to forgive sins of the forgive the sins of the penitent and to retain and hold the sins of the impenitent. And he doesn't understand that at all, because he doesn't understand the scriptures at all, and he's woven that into the dominion narrative, and he changed the word binding to forbid. And so whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden, and you know, it's just a total mess. He's really dealing slipshod with these texts, but clearly doesn't understand their meaning or intent and how they play then into the means of grace and the gospel. And he's turned this into, now you got to start forbidding things on the earth and forbidding things in heaven. And it's just, it doesn't even make any sense when you start to try to, you know, to apply it.
Well, so this is what I'm curious about. He doesn't really mention anything about God's will. Another kind of mainstay of Christian prayer is that all prayer, except for the Lord's Prayer, which is what Christ has given us to pray for, and God wills all these things, all prayer that comes from us always comes with the thy will be done. But this sounds more like my will be done. If I want to stop something, I can stop it. If I want to make something happen, I can make it happen.
Right, right. And this is the reason why, then, when you buy into this dominion narrative, you believe that your words have authority in and of themselves. You have the authority to decree and to declare a thing, which is why then you are very wary that, like, if you're not feeling well, you don't say, you know, I think I'm coming down with a cold. You're not supposed to do that, because when you say those words, you're now giving legal authority to the devil to give you a cold. It's this weird, strange, superstitious mythology that he's spinning in this narrative, and all of the ramifications for how it plays out in someone's understanding of prayer, then they're huge. Because now, rather than humbly beseeching God and praying as Christ has taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, now instead you are decreeing and declaring and commanding and controlling, and you're not humbly asking God for anything. The petitions are out of the question. In churches like this, petitions are not made. Declarations instead are pronounced by the person supposedly praying.
Well, that was the word I was looking for, Chris. Superstition, which is by definition the notion, and it's a very kind of infantile notion, that things I do, it's not just cause and effect, but things I do that have no direct relationship to events somehow cause those events. It's magical thinking.
Not miraculous thinking or belief that, you know, God works miraculously or intervenes, but you're right. It is magical thinking where, you know, if I say this, then this will happen. And you'll note that not only is this a key component of the NAR, this is a key component of the Word of Faith heresy. This is what's rattling back in the innards of Joel Osteen's theology and other people like him.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We are listening to some audio from Brad Carignan and answering the question, does God really need our permission to act on the earth? We'll hear more after this.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Are you a high school guy or girl interested in theology and thinking about becoming a pastor or deaconess? Christ Academy High School at Concordia Theological Seminary is the thing for you. Spend 2 weeks worshiping and learning like a seminary student while having fun and building lasting friendships. Join us this summer at Christ Academy from June 16th to the 29th. Visit ctsfw.edu/ca for more info.
Sanctifying your commute with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
I would say we should be very cautious in shifting from freedom of religion to freedom of worship, which ultimately becomes a facade of freedom.
Now the priest is that corpse hanging on an instrument of execution in a garbage pit somewhere in Jerusalem.
The problem isn't that journalists hate religious people. They actually love religious people whose doctrine basically agrees with the editorial page of the New York Times.
The Lord says, in a little while, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. A little while, my glory is going to come into the temple. In a little while. And then the people would say, well, your little while is very different from our little while.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have a soundbite from Blythe Ann Barreto, Lessons from Christianity Under Communism from Dr. David Scare, Jesus the True High Priest from Terry Mattingly, Do Journalists Hate Religion? And from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Faith is Waiting. We will be playing those soundbites, and after we play them, you'll vote, and your vote will pick which one will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We're talking about the new apostolic reformation and whether or not God needs our permission to act on the earth. Before the break, you said that this notion that we've been discussing here is what's rattling around behind Joel Osteen's theology. If you read it with that in mind, you realize, oh, okay, that's why he's always talking about don't say you're poor, don't say you're sick, things like that. Is it also, in some sense, what's rattling around behind vision casting?
In some senses, it's not a perfect one-to-one correlation, though. For instance, there are guys, I think historically, vision casting leaders like Perry Noble or even Rick Warren, they aren't known to be teachers of this type of dominion concept. But you'll note then that visionary leaders, they believe that they are receiving direct revelation from God, but that they have to earn the right or, you know, do what is necessary before God is able to give them a vision. That's a key aspect of vision casting leaders and how they're taught. I think of Dan Sutherland's conference and teaching that he did years ago. He was kind of the go-to guy in teaching people how to become vision casting leaders. And he made it very clear that God cannot give a vision to a vision casting leader if he hasn't done the proper steps necessary to receive a vision from God. It's not quite the same as what we're talking about, but there's again this sense that God's hands are tied. He can't do particular things. It's up to us. That would be the common denominator then.
So what's the final bit of nonsense we're going to hear from Brad Carignan?
Yeah, we could almost do an entire, you know, segment on this one soundbite. But where you limit God, you take away his sovereignty, it's always going to have an impact on your understanding of who Christ is and what he's done. And as we listen to this, consider the implications of what he's saying on the biblical doctrine of the incarnation.
It's really important that we step up our game and pray. Think about the space shuttle and all the spacewalks and working on satellites and space stations and all that. If they were to go outside of that vacuum chamber into the vacuum of space, our astronauts would immediately and instantly die. They need to have the spacesuit. They need to be inside of a suit that protects them from the cold, that protects them from the vacuum, that protects them from the sun's rays, right? And if they were outside of that suit, they would be dead. For God to work on the earth, he only operates on this planet through somebody wearing an earth suit. God made the earth, and he put Adam and Eve inside of these bags of meat and bones, the earth suit. And Adam, in an earth suit, rejected God's authority and dominion, and he gave it to the devil. So Jesus had to come in an earth suit to take back the authority that Adam gave away. So now God is looking. He's looking at the earth, and he's looking for somebody in an earth suit that is surrendered to the lordship of Jesus that would cry out in prayer and open up a portal so that he could move on the earth. So that's why you pray when you don't feel like it. You worship when you don't feel like it. It matters whether you feel like it or not. As a believer in Jesus, wearing an earth suit, you have the authority in Jesus' name to open up a portal for God to move in your heart, in your family, in your marriage, in your finances, in our church, in our city.
Well, Chris, he just turned heresy up to 11 right there, didn't he?
Yeah, he just shot past 10 on that one. Yeah, buried the needle. We do not have time to get into the finer details of the hypostatic union. But suffice it to say that Jesus, forever now, God incarnate, is the God-man. He has a divine nature and a human nature, and there is one Christ. They are so united in the hypostatic union. And I would note then that if he understood rightly the fact that Jesus rose bodily from the grave and that Jesus is still wearing, quote-unquote, an earth suit, it would destroy his entire dominion theology because it's like, hey, wait a second. Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of David forever, presently. In fact, the Son of David is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. You know, and if you're saying that in order for things to be done, it has to be somebody with an earth suit has to give permission, well, doesn't Jesus count? Because he's God and man forever. You know, it's just such a mess. I don't even know how to unpack it properly.
Well, I'm wondering how the devil exercises all this divine authority when he has no body. He is an incorporeal creature. He's an angel that they are, as far as we can tell from Scripture, are both without bodies and without, we would say, illocal. They don't occupy space the same way do. And the devil seems to have all kinds of power in his theology to do anything he wants on the earth without an earth suit.
Yeah, well, see, that's kind of the, you're getting on the fringes now of this mythology that they've put forward, this dominion mythology. And in order to come up with an explanation, they would just have to be creative. But you're going to note where we're off-roading at this point. We're not in a biblical text. We're not exegeting any biblical passages that teach any of these things. This is all just mythological, fanciful, imaginative stuff. And the whole thing comes crumbling down if you just apply a little bit of biblical discernment to this thing and say, wait a second, how does the universe operate? You know, if this is true and this is true, I mean, and why is it that Jesus can't make things happen? Because he's still God in human flesh because he rose bodily from the grave. I mean, it just, I think you get the idea, but when you grant the premise and you agree with and you think that the narrative itself that he's spinning is what the Bible teaches, then you're trapped in this system, and you need clear passages to get you out of it because you got put into this thing without ever looking at the fine print of the scripture to see if what this fellow was saying was true.
But my point there is simply that in his theology, the devil has power to do far more than God does without anybody praying to him.
Well, and they would say, well, you have to understand that God has to obey the laws that he's set up. And since the devil was given authority by Adam and Eve, there's nothing that God can do. The devil is operating in that authority that was given to him by Adam and Eve. And so, yeah, he looks more powerful and stuff. But but that's the way he set it up, and God has to obey his rules. That's how they talk.
So Jesus really didn't defeat the devil at the cross in this theology.
No.
I mean, if he had defeated the devil in this, then the devil would be defeated and would not be exercising this authority.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to want to have their cake and eat it too when it comes to that.
Oh yeah, it's this whole dominion narrative doesn't fit with Scripture. And at the end of the day, if you were to ask somebody caught in the system, what did Jesus accomplish? They would say what he accomplished was he regained the authority that was lost in the Garden of Eden and then gave that authority to his believers. So, Scripture's clear that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and that he defeated the devil on the cross. And, there's a whole aspect to the atonement where Christ is victorious now over the forces of the devil and the demons and the principalities and the powers. And that isn't really true if the only thing he did was regain some authority, and so you'll note then that this authority then is like this football, and that's the Holy Grail. That's the thing you're striving after. That Jesus accomplished and won was he won back this lost authority, and this is not it at all. What Christ regained on the cross was us. We were under the dominion of darkness, sold as slaves to sin, death, and the devil, and by his vicarious bleeding and dying for our sins, we were reconciled to God the Father by what Christ has done. And so it's not about regaining authority, it's about regaining lost humanity. And so he's put the emphasis totally on the wrong syllable here, and this narrative and this mythology that he spun is just nonsense.
I'm thinking about these mighty deeds that God did of old without anybody asking him, like creating the world, or like keeping all his promises to Abraham, or like parting the Red Sea. Moses had no idea that sea was going to part. He just said, stand there and watch and see what I'm going to do. Nobody asked God to do this. I guess these guys have to posit some little Israelite boy in his tent praying that God would part the Red Sea for that to work.
Yeah. They'll never let the narrative be questioned. So they'll always find a creative way to come up with hypothetical situations that aren't recorded in Scripture that will then save the narrative, because the narrative has to be saved at all costs. You're right. That's how they play the game.
So what kind of false teachings will you be bringing to light on Fighting for the Faith tonight?
We're going to be talking tonight about the evangelical belief that God is going to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem during our days, and that the Antichrist will exalt himself at a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem where the Mosaic Covenant animal sacrifices have been refired up. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Be sure to listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in about a half hour at 5 Central at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts that daily internet talk show, Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to be playing our 4 sound bites for you. We are going to listen, and after you have heard all 4 of them, we're going to open the phone lines 1-877-623-6943. Start taking your email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, your tweets as well @issuesetc, and checking our Facebook fan page for your votes, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your votes will decide which of our 4 sound bites will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Stay tuned. If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Talk Radio for Recovering Evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, EMMANUEL press.us.